Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and thank you for inviting me back. When Pastor Nathan asked me, he told me about the, I forget what you call your classes meetings. What do they call them? The meetings you just had.
Presbytery.
So we have, and when I was in another denomination, we call them classes meetings, and I remember how much that took of your time. So I understood completely, and Pastor Nathan didn't say this, but he was the moderator too, so he was in charge of the whole thing. So thank you, and I hope you have a relaxing day sitting there, and I won't point at you to answer every question. So in talking to Pastor Nathan before, when he asked me to come preach, it sounded like he's doing a series of messages in these upcoming weeks on what the Lord has to say about work, about occupation, about labor. So now you might be surprised because we don't like to talk about work that much. When you meet people, we like to talk about what we did on our day off or what we did on our vacations. We don't talk, work's work. But God has a lot to say about work. But before we get to that, I want to do a sort of children's message, if that's okay. I asked if it was okay. But I need everybody's help, not just the little kids. Okay, so we'll start with the little kids. I want you to tell me what you want to be when you grow up. And don't yell it out. Just raise your hand, and then we'll point to you. Right away. What do you want to be, honey? You want to be a doctor. That's awesome. An astronaut? We have high and literally high hopes here. You way back there, that little guy right there. Yeah. What do you want to be? What?
A
married? High hopes, high hopes. You, sweetie, right there.
A pastor.
A pastor. Oh, talk to Pastor Nathan before you make that career change there, okay? Anybody else? Are all the little kids supposed to sit on this side? No, there's some over there. Do either of you have something you want to be when you grow up? How many years younger is he than you? Yeah, four. Like, he's a little kid here. What do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, that's not funny because that's a lot of times physical therapists come from people that have needed them a lot. Anybody else? Oh, there's a big guy down there. What? Yeah, go ahead. A what? An astronaut? Okay, so you kind of see you got two astronauts. That would be remarkable. Put your hand down. Put your hand down. Okay, oh, are you answering for your great-grandson or for you? No, you hold on. Okay, so now I'm going to ask the big kids, okay? This is the adults, okay? What did they want to be when they were little? And then you don't have to tell me what you're doing now. Just tell me, is that what it ended up happening? Okay, and I'll start, okay? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. I loved baseball. I played a lot of baseball. But the closest I got to that, to the pros, was when a baseball scout came to our high school game because we had some good players on our team and they were watching the good players, and they asked my coach about me. And then he watched me play, and then he like, nah, I don't think so. So I became a newspaper journalist, and I wrote about baseball, and then I became a pastor about 30 years ago. So anybody else want to tell us of their dying dreams? Go ahead. Do you want to answer now? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Great-grandfather.
A what?
Great-grandfather.
No, what did you want to be when you were little? I hope you didn't want to be a great-grandfather when you were little.
A forest ranger.
Did you end up being a forest ranger? Okay. Anybody? Come on, adults.
A veterinarian.
And did you end up being a veterinarian? Okay. Go ahead. Oh, you took the easy route.
Sorry.
And did you become a mom? Amen to that, especially today. That was a good answer. Thank you. Go ahead.
I wanted to be a nurse.
A nurse. Did you end up? Very good. Our daughter, same thing. She wanted to be a nurse, and she ended up being one. Anybody else? I'm missing. Oh, you guys still here? I always miss the other side there. Anybody want to answer over there?
I actually wanted to be an astronaut.
Really? How many times did you go into space?
Zero
times.
So far.
So far. There's. You're young, okay, so it's still possible.
She does?
She
makes rockets for Boeing.
So you make rockets for Boeing? That is pretty close. That's really excellent. Okay, so you can kind of see what I'm going here, okay? The dream job that we had when we were young, and maybe even when we were older, is often not what ends up happening. Sometimes we're fortunate enough that that does happen, but not a lot of times. So if we end up doing jobs years on years, and they aren't our dream jobs, what should be our attitude in these jobs as Christians? When you show up to work this week, some of us are still working, and you have to deal with a boss who's really too critical, co-workers who talk behind your back, customers who are rude, or a paycheck that isn't what you really think you deserve. How does God want you to act? Does he want you to act a certain way in these situations? Well, a little group of new Christians in a big, not very Christian city called Thessalonica were asking questions like this. So they didn't know much about Jesus. They had just planted a church, and they were wondering how Christians should live in all kinds of situations in life. Now, the Apostle Paul, who planted the church and then kind of left really pretty quick after that, later wrote them two letters to help them through all this stuff. And we're going to read a portion of the first one that deals with what our attitude should be when it comes to labor. So this is 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5. I've got to find it here. Chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 12 through 18. Now, I read out of the NIV because I'm lazy and I have an NIV at home, but it might be a slightly different in your versions in the Pew Bibles. But here's what Paul says to these Christians in Thessalonica. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, how should we act as Christians at work? I did an exhaustive study of career job sites. Well, I Googled two sites. And I read these stories, and I learned what we should do. And here's what they said. We should suck up to the boss, help the company reach its goals, and focus on reaching our personal goals. And that's not exactly what Paul was saying. If you look closely, Paul does actually mention bosses, the people we work with, and even some of the goals we should have for ourselves. But the focus is completely different. It's not about what we should do to get ahead or reach our goals. It's about how we should treat others. Paul says we should respect our bosses, live at peace with our coworkers, encourage, help, and be patient with everyone else, including and maybe especially those who are under us. And we should never try to get back at someone, but instead be kind to everyone. Now, if this sounds familiar, and it should, it's because that's what Jesus said when people asked, how should we treat people? In Matthew 5, in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So, if you want to know, how can I get ahead in work? Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. The right question is, how should I treat people at work? And both Jesus and Paul said, love them. Show them respect. Be at peace. Encourage them. Help them. And be patient with them. Well, okay, Pastor Jim, but what if they are mean or critical or even just downright hurtful? Everybody's probably worked, if you've worked more than a couple years, you've had that bad boss, or you've dealt with the customers from HE Double Hockey Sticks. They are the reasons why often we hate going to work, why you call in sick when you're not really sick, you're just sick of work. Why you start checking out job openings and updating your resumes even when you're at work. I'd like to tell you that God says, hey, if it's that bad, just tell them what they can do with their job and find a place that fits you better, makes your life happier, and gives you what you want, a place that people appreciate you for who you are. I'd like to tell you that. But I can't. Sorry. You can't use God as an excuse to go job hunting when your feelings are hurt or you feel underappreciated. Now, I'm not saying you can't find a new job. Almost everybody has had at least a couple, often many more than just two or three jobs in their lifetime. Some jobs have been good fits and some jobs not so good. But what God's word is telling us is that wherever you are, in your dream job as an astronaut, or a temporary gig, like I'm doing this now because I have to, or a job that you really don't want to go to, wherever you are, that's where God has you right now. And wherever that is, he wants you to treat people that you come in contact with respect. Be at peace with them. Encourage them. Help them. Be patient with them. And this too is repeated over and over in the Bible. Whatever our situation in life is, wherever you are, at work, in a marriage, in the church, in the king's palace, or in prison, in good times or in bad times, we are called to be content where we are, and to be as Christ-like as possible. The Thessalonians, they're like, why? Why do we have to love others? Why do we have to sacrifice? Why do we have to give up the things that we enjoy? You see, in that particular case, they had been told Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again soon. And he's going to take everybody up to heaven with him. So they assumed that it would be in the next couple of years, right? That makes sense, certainly in their lifetimes. So why not enjoy life and get as much as you can out of life? A lot of people, including, unfortunately, some TV evangelists, tell us this. But Paul told the Thessalonians, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. That's earlier in the letter. And when he does, he's going to come back like a thief in the night. You're not going to know it until it happens. So you'd better be living like he tells you to. And he tells you to be content where you are and to live for others. Paul summed it up well in a letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, when he reminded them of all the hardships that he had gone through, including beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, death threats. He said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And what's the secret? Paul said, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That him, of course, is God. The Lord gives you the strength to be content, to be okay where you're at. People of God, I don't know. I've never, and maybe you haven't, faced beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, or death threats like Paul did. But the Lord is calling you to go to work every day because that's where he placed you, right now, and to live like Jesus, to treat people nice even when they don't deserve it, to not steal from the company or lie about your sick days, or even if that's what other people are doing. And please note, in parentheses, we're not just talking about going to a job where you get paid a salary, but any kind of work that you do for others, including stay-at-home parents, students, volunteer work, anywhere you put your efforts. So how do we do that? How do we treat others with respect and value them even when we don't really feel like it? And maybe more importantly, why should we do that? Well, remember what Paul said. He said the way to do it is to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And maybe that's the hardest thing to learn about leading a Christian life. Our selfish nature is always looking out for number one, for ourselves. And when we look at our lives, we're never satisfied. Can we be honest here? We all want our lives to be better. We may not have enough money, we may have enough money to live on, but maybe more is better. We want to have a comfortable retirement. We want to travel to some cool places. We may be relatively healthy, but we still want to lose weight, and we want to look like we did at 20, or we want to live long enough to see our grandkids graduate from high school. We may be in a relationship with someone else who cares about us and who provides what we need, but there's always someone else's husband who looks better, or that woman on the internet who sounds perfect. We may have a job that puts food on the table, and a boss who's just an honest person. But there's always that dream job that pays twice as much. And wouldn't it be better if I was my own boss? The book of Proverbs says, people who are never satisfied are like the grave or a raging fire. They just never get enough. They want more. But like the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 says, stop being dissatisfied where you are. Here's what he says. Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, which fits in really well into our Good Shepherd Sunday. Tomorrow, we're going to return to the real world, where work is. Well, work is work. That's why we don't call it fun. It's where we go every day because we have to, where we can't wait for our next day off or our vacation, where we work hard so we can make our lives better. But what if we were to think of ways to make life better for someone else? Let me just toss out a couple ideas. You people are smarter than I, you'll think of even other ideas. But just let me throw these out. How about if we send a card or maybe a little gift to your boss? Not to suck up to them, but to thank them for the job they do. How about you make a list of the customers who drive you crazy and you pray for one of them each day? How about asking one of your coworkers if there's a way you can help them with their job? Or if you see someone you don't know well, maybe at work, maybe just ask them about their family or their life outside of work. How about telling someone who serves you, like a waitress or a busboy or at the grocery store or tellers at the bank, wherever, you appreciate what they do. You could maybe even give them an extra big tip or bring them a little present to show, if you see them frequently, to show you recognize what they do and appreciate them. What would be really Christ-like would be to give it to the ones, a little gift or an encouragement, to the ones who are rude to you or provide poor service, because you never know what is going on in their life. Maybe the best thing is just to be joyful and thankful at the job you have. Not just because so many don't have jobs, although that's a pretty good reason, but because that is where God has placed you to be his witness. So for me, I've had to give up the dream of being the shortstop for the Seattle Mariners. Where's my Mariners fan? Yeah, there she is. I tried, but I failed miserably at that. I've also had to give up my midlife dream of being an ice cream tester for Edeline Dairy. Yesterday, Nadine and I, we went there and I had a peanut butter blast on a waffle cone and it was delicious. Yet, despite never reaching my dream jobs, I am thankful that I am here with all of you right now so that we can live like Jesus together. So, whether you're going to work or to school or to the Dutch treat with old retirees for coffee, be content with where you are and try to do something nice for someone else, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, at home and at work. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for placing us where we are, wherever that may be, whether at work or school or in the family you placed us. And while our nature is to be selfish and unsatisfied, we ask that you help us to be more like you were, Jesus, humble and content and always thinking of others. Today, especially as we think of mothers, many of whom have had to sacrifice so much for us, help us to use that example of loving mothers and to live lives our mothers would be proud of. And you, Father, are the ultimate example of unconditional love and sacrifice. So help us all to show our gratitude for all that you've done for us by showing that we care about the people we work with and work for and those who work for us. May all we do at work and everywhere else honor you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.